Today's gospel from Luke 24 is one of my favorites. This image of Jesus just happened to be walking alongside these two disciples journeying from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And he says something that seems very strange at first to them. He asks them, "What are you talking about? You know, what are you conversing about as you walk along?" And this should seem strange because, number one, it all happened to Jesus, so he knows exactly what went on. And number two, he's God. He knows what they're talking about already. So why is he interested in asking this question? If he already knows what they're saying and he already knows what happened, it seems quite rhetorical that he would ask this question of these two disciples. Number one, he asks this question because he is interested in what they think, how they feel, and their subjective experience of what has just happened. And the same is very true still today. God knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're going to say when you pray. He knows what's been going on in your life, but he's still interested in hearing from you. He's interested in your subjective experience of your faith. One summer, the bishop sent me up to Creighton to study at something called the Institute of Priestly Formation. I was still a seminarian. And we study during that summer, Ignatian spirituality. St. Ignatius has a very developed way of discerning spirits, good and bad spirits, and discerning things, and so we immersed ourselves in that method to learn more about it. And we had spiritual direction every week, as well as class and a bunch of other things. And I remember going to my spiritual director one week and saying, "You know, I'm frustrated because I keep getting distracted in prayer." And he says, "Well, what are you distracted by?" "Well, I think of, you know, what's my family doing at home, and you know, I've got this project I need to get done, and all these things." He says, "Well, why aren't those things part of your prayer?" And what he pointed out to me that was just revolutionary for my prayer life and my spiritual life is that what we tend to do is approach our prayer as if I'm stepping from one realm, my human realm, into this other realm to be with God. And there's some truth to that. But then what I do is I tend to want to separate my life and all of my experiences, my concerns and my thoughts, and put them over here and have this conversation with God and with the divine over here that's something totally separate. As if God wasn't totally interested in who I was and what I was thinking and what I was going through and feeling. Guys, the goal of the Christian life is not to separate the human from the divine. What did Jesus Christ do? He brought them together. The goal of the Christian life is to bring the human and the divine together. So when you're praying and you have those times where you're distracted or you have thoughts that you think, "Oh, well, that's not part of my prayer." Guys, for all you know, that's the Holy Spirit telling you to pray about that thing that you're distracted by. The goal of this Christian life is to bring humanity and divinity together, not to separate them. And Jesus is very interested in your experience of God. Secondly, Jesus asks this question of the two disciples because he wants to ensure that they have a subjective experience of faith. Not just a knowledge or some external observance of their faith. What does Jesus over and over tell the Jewish leadership? What does he condemn them for? For just practicing all the rules, all the externals of their faith, but not actually having a relationship with the divine. Jesus harps on this over and over during his 3 years of ministry. And we're still tempted to do this today. We go through the external practices of our faith. We're here for Sunday because it's required. But do we have an actual relationship with Jesus Christ? One that is personal, it is effective, a felt experience of his love and his mercy. What did the disciples say once Jesus vanishes? Were not our hearts burning within us as we walked along with him and he opened to us the scriptures? And brothers and sisters, you can have that same experience. You sit down with your Bible and you let Jesus come and walk with you for that time. And he will open to you the scriptures. And maybe not at first. I know when you first sit down to read the Bible and you haven't really ever done it, it's like, what does this mean? But you repeat it over and over and over and you're faithful to it every day. I mean, guys, these two disciples walked with Jesus on a 7-mile journey on foot. Now, I don't know how long that would take. For some of us, take a little bit longer than others, right? But a lot was said during that time. It took a lot of time to open the scriptures to those disciples. Same is true with us. And how do you know if you've had a subjective experience? How do you know if you're, like Jesus said about the Pharisees, just living the externals, going by the rules, versus a felt experience of the love and mercy of God? Well, I think you can tell by the reaction. Look at the disciples in the gospel today. When they realize what was going on and that their hearts had been burning within them, what did they do? What was the result of it? Did they say, oh, it's late, let's hit the sack? Did they say, it's late and we're really excited, let's talk about this? No. They immediately, in the dark, ran back to Jerusalem to tell everybody else about what they had experienced. Brothers and sisters, that's the proof, the sign, that you have had a subjective experience of the love and mercy of God. That you want to tell people about it. That you want to share the good news. That you set out at once to do something about it. If you were walking along and someone asked you about your experience of your faith, what would you say? If you were walking, say, home from church today, and somebody just happened to come up alongside you and said, what you been doing? You say, well, I went to church. What did you experience at church? Well, Father Matt preached forever. And we sang some songs. And we heard some readings. Couldn't tell you what they were. Is that going to help that person come to a relationship with Jesus Christ? You might say to them, well, it's really none of your business. My faith is very, a very personal thing. Well, that's not Christian. You might say, well, we went in and we genuflected and we stood up and we sat down and we kneeled and we stood up again. Oh, so you went to exercise class. Brothers and sisters, we need to be able to leave church and leave our prayer and be able to tell people that we experience Jesus Christ on some level. And the things that we do externally, all the signs and the symbols and the genuflections and our posture and the decoration of the church is all in service of that. Reminders of the dignity of that relationship. But it can't stop with all those externals. It's supposed to lead us somewhere. You know, we've been celebrating now for 2 weeks, the resurrection, right? We're still in the Easter season. Do you realize that if Jesus rose from the dead and has a glorified body, he's out there somewhere? I mean, think about it. Thomas actually put his hand into his side. He felt him. So Jesus has a body. So where is he? I mean, did he get a tent and go to the most remote spot on the earth and he's just going to wait it out until the second coming? Or could it be that this glorified body, which we already know can be changed shape and go from one place to another instantaneously and can be recognized at one moment and not at another? Could it be that that glorified body of Jesus is encountering people every day on this planet? And could it be that when you're walking along and somebody comes up next to you, or you're sitting in traffic and somebody pulls up next to you, or you're sitting in church and the homeless guy comes into the church, could it be that that is actually Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, coming alongside you and asking you about your faith? You know, the tendency, the other night I had somebody come in, I was in the confessional, and they said, "Well, Father, I'm the last one, but there's a guy out there that just came in. I'm not sure what he's doing." So I go out and I see him over here sitting in the pew, got tattoos all up and down his arm and long hair, and he's talking really loud in the middle of adoration. Now, the typical response for a lot of us would say, this guy doesn't belong here, right? He doesn't know how to act in church. But what if that was Jesus? In another form, testing, asking, helping us to realize how we practice our faith. You never know when you will encounter Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as you leave church today, I want you to remember three things. That Jesus is interested in you. The whole you. Not just the external you, but the deepest recesses of you. Your brokenness, your joys, your failures. He wants it all. So don't try to separate you from the divine. He desires for you to have a felt and real experience of his love and his mercy. And the evidence of that is the desire to tell the whole world the good news of Jesus Christ. Who is the next person that you will encounter, that you will share the joy of the gospel with? And could that person be Jesus Christ?